ट्रांसलेशन, किन जन्मेजय वाज बॉर्न ऑफ दिस डायनेस्टी ऑफ पुरु? जन्मेजय सन वाज प्राचीनवान एंड हिज सन वाज प्रवीरा, देयर आफ्टर प्रवीराज सन वाज मनुष्य एंड फ्रॉम मनुष्य केम द सम नेम केम द सन नेम्ड चारुपद. टेक्स्ट 3. तस्य सुद्युर अभूत्पुत्रस् तस्माद् बहुगवस्ततः तस्याहं याति रुद्रास्वास्तत्सुतस्मृता. ट्रांसलेशन: द सन ऑफ चारुपाद वाज सुद्यु एंड द सन ऑफ सुद्यु वाज बहुगवा. बहुगवा सन वाज समयाति, फ्रॉम समयाति केम ए सन नेम्ड अहम याति एंड फ्रॉम होम रुद्राश्वा वाज बॉर्न. टेक्स्ट 4 and 5. ऋतेयुस्तस्य कक्षेयु स्थान्धिलेयु कृतेयुक जलेयु सन्नतेयुश्च धर्मसत्यव्रतेयव दसिते अप्रसन्न अप्सरा पुत्रा वनेयुश्चावमस्मृता ग्रत्ताच्याम इन्द्रियानैव मूयश्व जगदात्मनः. ट्रांसलेशन: रुद्राश्व हैड 10 सन्स नेम्ड ऋत्यु कक्षेयु स्थंदिलेयु कृतेयुक जलेयु सनतेयु धर्मेयु सत्येयु व्रतेयु एंड वनेयु. ऑफ दीज 10 सन्स वनेयु वाज द यंगेस्ट. एज द 10 सन्स विच आर प्रोडक्ट ऑफ द यूनिवर्सल लाइफ एक्ट अंडर द कंट्रोल ऑफ लाइफ, दीज 10 सन्स ऑफ रुद्राश्व एक्टेड अंडर रुद्राश्वाज फुल कंट्रोल. ऑल ऑफ देम वर बॉर्न ऑफ अप्सरा नेम ग्रताची. टेक्स्ट 6. ऋतेयोरान्तिनावो भूत् त्रयस्तस्यात्मजा नृपा सुमतिर्ध्रुवो अप्रतिरथ कन्वो प्रतिरथात्मज. ऋतेयु हैड ए सन नेम्ड रान्तिनाव who had 3 sons named Sumati, Dhruva and Apratiratha. Apratiratha had 10 sons named, has only one son whose name was Kanva. Text 7. Tasya medha titis tasmat praka प्रश्कन्नाद्या द्विजतया पुत्रो अभूत् सुमतेरेभिर् दुष्मन्तश्च तत्सुतो मत. ट्रांसलेशन: द सन ऑफ कन्वा वाज मेधातिथि हूज सन्स ऑल ब्राह्मणास वर हेडेड बाय प्रश्कन्न. द सन ऑफ रांति रांतिनाव नेम्ड सुमति हैड ए सन नेम्ड रेभी. महाराज दुष्मंत इज वेल नोन एज द सन ऑफ रेभी. टेक्स्ट 8 and 9. दुष्मंतो मृगयाम यात कन्वाश्रम पदम गतः तत्रासीनाम स्वप्रभया मंडयंतिम रमामिव विलोक्य सद्यो मुहुमे. विलोक्य सद्यो मुहुमे देवमायाम इवास्त्रियाम बभाषेताम वरारोहाम भते कतिपयेर्व्रता. Translation: Once when King Dushmant went to the forest to hunt and was very much fatigued, he approached the residence of Kanva Muni. There he saw a beautiful woman who looked exactly like the goddess of fortune, and who sat there illuminating the entire ashrama by her effulgence. The king was naturally attracted by her beauty, and therefore he approached her, accompanied by some of his soldiers, and spoke to her. Text 10. Taddarshana pramudita sannivritta parishrama prapaccha kama santapta prahasanslakshnayagira. Translation: Seeing the beautiful woman, the king was very much enlivened, and the fatigue of his hunting excursions was relieved. He was, of course, very much attracted because of lusty desires, and thus he inquired from her as follows in a joking mood. Text 11. Katvam kamala patrakshi kashyasi hridayangame kim svichikirshitam tatra bhavatya nirjane vane. Translation: O beautiful lotus-eyed woman, who are you? Whose daughter are you? What purpose do you have in this solitary forest? Why are you staying here? Text 12. Vyaktam rajanya tanayam vedmi aham tvam samadhyame. Vedmi aham tvam sumadhyame nahi cheta pauravanam adharme ramate kochit. Translation: O most beautiful one, it appears to my mind that you must be the daughter of a kshatriya, because I belong to a Puru dynasty. My mind never endeavors to enjoy anything irreligiously. Purport: Maharaj Dushmant indirectly expressed his desire to marry Shakuntala, for she appeared to his mind to be the daughter of some Kshatriya king. Text 13. Shri Shakuntala Vacha Vishwamitratma Javaham Tyakta Menakaya Vane Vede Tad Bhagavan Kanvo Vira Kim Karavam Karavamate. Translation: Shakuntala said, I am the daughter of Vishwamitra. My mother Menaka left me in the forest. O hero, the most powerful saint Kanva Muni knows all about this. Now let me know, how may I serve you? Purport: Shakuntala informed Maharaj Dushmant that although she never saw or knew her father or mother, Kanva Muni knew everything about her, and she had heard from him that she was the daughter of Vishwamitra and that her mother was Menaka, who had left her in the forest. Text 14. Asyatam hi aravindaksha grayatam arhanam chana bhujayatam shanti nirvara bhujayantam shanti nivara usyatam yadirochate. Translation: O king, with eyes like the petals of lotus, kindly come sit down and accept whatever reception we can offer. We have a supply of nivara rice that you may kindly take, and if you so desire, stay here without hesitation. Text 15, which is today's verse. Shri Dushmanto Vacha Upapannam Idam Shubhru Jataya Kukshikanvaye Swayam Hi Vranute Ragyam Kanyaka Sadrasham Varam. Shri Dushmanto Vacha Upapannam Idam Shubhru जाताया कुशिकान्वये स्वयं हि वृणुते राज्ञां कन्यका सदृशं वरम्। श्री दुष्मन्त उवाच उपपन्नम् इदं शुभ्रु जाताया कुशिकान्वये स्वयं हि वृणुते राज्ञां कन्यका सदृशं वरम्। प्लीज चैंट। श्री दुष्मन्त उवाच कन्यका सदृशं वरम्। श्री दुष्मन्त उवाच उपपन्नम् इदं शुभ्रु जाताया कुशिकान्वये स्वयं हि वृणुते राज्ञां वृणते राज्ञां कन्यका सदृशं वरम्। माताजी श्री दुष्मन्त उवाच उपपन्नम् इदं शुभ्रु जाताया कुशिकान्वये स्वयं हि वृणुते राज्ञां कन्यका सदृशं वरम्। वर्ड टू वर्ड मीनिंग ट्रांसलेशन एंड प्रपोर्ट बाय एसी भक्तिविदान स्वामी शिल प्रभुपाद। शिल प्रभुपाद की जय। श्री दुष्मन्त उवाच किंग दुष्मन्त रिप्लाइड उपपन्नम जस्ट बेफिटिंग योर पोजिशन इदम दिस सुभ्रु ओ शकुंतला with beautiful eyebrows jataya because of your birth kushika anvaye in the family of vishwamitra swayam personally he indeed vranute select ragyam ragyam of a royal family kanyaka daughters sadrishyam on an equal level varam husbands। Translation king dushmant replied oh shakuntala with beautiful eyebrows you have taken your birth in the family of the great saint vishwamitra and your reception is quite worthy of your family aside from this the daughters of a king generally select their own husbands। Please repeat the translation king dushmant replied oh shakuntala with beautiful eyebrows you have taken your birth in the family of great saint vishwamitra and your reception is quite worthy of your family aside from this the daughters of a king generally select their own husbands। Purport in her reception of maharaj dushmant shakuntala clearly said Your Majesty may stay here and you may accept whatever reception I can offer. Thus, she indicated that she wanted Maharaj Dushmant as her husband. As far as Maharaj Dushmant was concerned, he desired Shakuntala as his wife from the very beginning, as soon as he saw her. So the argument to unite as husband and wife was natural. To induce Shakuntala to accept the marriage, Maharaj Dushmant reminded her that as the daughter of a king, she could select her husband in an open assembly. In the history of Aryan civilization, there have been many instances in which famous princes have selected their husbands in open competitions. For example, it was in such a competition that Sita Devi accepted Lord Ramchandra as her husband, and that Draupadi accepted Arjuna, and there are many other instances. So marriage by agreement or by selecting one's own husband in an open competition is allowed. There are 8 kinds of marriage, of which marriage is by agreement is called Gandharva marriage. Generally, the parents select the husband or wife for their daughter or son. But Gandharva marriage takes place by personal selection. Still, although marriage by personal selection or by agreement took place in the past, we find no such things as divorce by disagreement. Of course, divorce by disagreement takes place among low-class men, but marriage by agreement was found even in the very highest classes, especially in the royal Kshatriya families. Maharaj Dushmant's acceptance of Shakuntala as his wife was sanctioned by Vedic culture. How the marriage took place is described in the next verse. Om Agyanti Mirandhasya Gyananjana Shilakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Utapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsya Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamsha Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashyata Deshatarine Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namine Gortushe Namaha Pancha Tattvatmakam Krishna Bhakta Rupa Sarupakam Bhakta Avataram Bhaktakhyam Namami Bhakta Shaktikam Vancha Kalpataru Bhishcha Kripa Sindubhyevacha Patidanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare So yesterday we discussed about this new chapter, the dynasty of Puru. And previously we have heard the pastimes of Maharaj Yayati and Devyani, how Maharaj Yayati at the end attains liberation. So the all kings which are mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam, they are all religious souls, they are Rajarshis. They are not only ruling the kingdom, but as well as they are well acquainted with the knowledge of Supreme Personality of Godhead. About soul and super soul, about the duties of eternal duties of living entity. So they are well qualified. So here one more Rajarshi, King Dushmant, his activities are described. So definitely they are all religious, pious and king, following the religion. And it seems sometimes that their pastimes are like some worldly people. if some movie director makes a drama on this pastime, Dushmant and Shakuntala's marriage and all pastime, so it will be a very big hit, because people want to listen these kinds of pastimes, love, marriage, then breakup. So these kinds of pastime, they can seen in general people also. So people want to listen these kinds of pastimes. And Srila Vyasadeva very intelligently put these teachings which are required for us in the form of these pastimes. So Srila Vyasadeva has put these kind of pastimes in Srimad Bhagavatam to teach us some lessons, so that we can learn from these pastimes. We can relish the pastimes as well as we can learn the teachings which can be derived from these pastimes. So I pray to all the Vaishnavas and all Srila Prabhupada and all parampara, that I can speak something for my own purification on this topic, and I may not deviate from the parampara teachings. So this is the 15th verse of this chapter. And yesterday we have discussed just the starting of this Puru dynasty. And in the previous verses till 2nd up to 15, it describes about different kings. And recently it was describing about Maharaj Dushmant. So Maharaj Dushmant was the son of Rantinav, king. The son of Kanva was Medhanati, whose son all Brahmanas were headed by Prashakanna. The son of Rantinav, named Sumati, had a son named Rebhi. Maharaj Dushmant is well known as the son of Rebhi. So Maharaj Dushmant is the son of Rebhi. So his pastimes are described here, because some very important teachings Vyasadeva wants to give us through his life. So that is why specifically Vyasadeva has put his name and is describing his pastimes here. So once when Maharaj Dushmant went to forest for hunting, he became very much fatigued and he searched for some water. And he approached one ashram. He saw one ashram nearby, and that was the ashram of Kanva Muni. He lives in the forest. So when he approached in the ashram, he didn't know that Kanva Muni was not in the ashram. So when he approached that ashram, he found that there was the daughter of Kanva Muni, Shakuntala. And upon seeing the beauty of Shakuntala, King Dushmant became attracted to her and proposed her to marry. So King Dushmant asked about that, who are you, why are you staying here? And King Dushmant, without telling Shakuntala, he knew that Shakuntala must be the daughter of a Kshatriya, because he gave this reason: "Oh, most beautiful one, it appears to my mind that you must be the daughter of a Kshatriya, because I belong to the Puru dynasty. My mind never endeavors to enjoy anything irreligiously." Because the king was so religious person, he was following dharma perfectly, and he was trained from his childhood in proper sanskars. So he was very much confident that his mind will never engage in anything, any activity which is irreligious. So he told Shakuntala that, "Definitely you are a daughter of a Kshatriya, that is why my mind become attracted towards you." And Shakuntala replied, "Yes, I am daughter of Vishwamitra." So we all know that Vishwamitra was a great king earlier. Then out of envy towards Vasishtha Muni, he decided to become Maharshi. Brahmarshi, sorry. He decided to perform austerity and become Brahmarshi on the level of Vasishtha Muni, because Vasishtha Muni had such a power, and by seeing the power of Vasishtha Muni, he became very envious. "I should also have these kinds of power. I am a king. Why should I not have?" So there was fight also between Vasishtha Muni and Vishwamitra, and Vishwamitra got defeated. So then he decided that, "I will also perform austerity and gain the title of Brahmarshi." So then he left his kingdom, he renounced his kingdom and went to forest. And in the forest, while performing austerity, his austerity tapasya was broken by the apsara Menaka, which was sent by Indra to disturb the austerity of Vishwamitra. So by the combination of Vishwamitra and Menaka, Shakuntala was born. And so when Menaka broke the austerity of Vishwamitra, Vishwamitra became very angry. And he left that place immediately and went away. So Menaka only left with that daughter, Shakuntala. And Menaka also, she wants to go back to his abode, heavenly abode. So she left that child, Shakuntala, in the ashram of Kanva Muni. And Kanva Muni, he brought her up. So in this way, Shakuntala got his upbringing in the ashram of Kanva Muni. And now she is introducing that my mother has left me in the forest under the care of Kanva Muni, and I am the daughter of Vishwamitra. So in this way she introduced herself. And here Prabhupada also writes in the purport that Shakuntala also desired to marry King Dushmant. He was also equally attracted to King Dushmant. King Dushmant replied, "O Shakuntala, with most beautiful eyebrows you have taken your birth in the family of the great saint Vishwamitra, and your reception is quite worthy of your family. Aside from this, the daughters of a king generally select their own husbands." So in the purport, Srila Prabhupada is mentioning about Gandharva Vivaha, Gandharva marriage. So it is on the agreement of the boy and the girl. When the boy and the girl, they agree and they can marry. But this decision, or the ability to take this decision, which is going to affect their life, the capability to take this decision comes from the sanskaras they have got since the childhood. So different sanskaras, even before the birth of a child, garbhadhana sanskar, then different sanskars are there, vivaha sanskar, then at the last antim sanskar also. So different sanskaras are there. When a person goes through these different sanskars, then he developed this kind of intelligence and wisdom to take right decision in his life. But as in Kali Yuga, it is mentioned Kalau Shudra Sambhava. Like yesterday Prabhuji was discussing, everybody is born Shudra in Kali Yuga. But if we get proper sanskars, sanskarat bhavet dvijo, if we get proper training in different ashram, Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya and Shudra, we can become dvija. Come to the level of dvija. Dvija means twice born. Twice born. When we take the shelter of Shastra and Guru, then we may consider be dvija. Veda Pata Pavet Vipro Brahma Janati Iti Brahmana. So in this way, proper training is required to develop that kind of understanding or intelligence to take these decisions. Like here, Dushmant is a perfect king, or he is a perfectly trained prince, and Shakuntala is also nicely trained by Kanva Muni. So the decision they are taking of Gandharva marriage here, by selecting each other, is according to the religious principle. Lord Krishna also says in Bhagavad Gita, "Dharma viruddho kamo asmi." The kama, which is not against the religious principle, is me, Lord Krishna says. So this marriage is according to the religious principles, because in future they beget a child named Bharat Maharaj, who is also a devotee of the Lord, and who become the emperor of the whole world. And after his name, this earth planet got the name Bharatvarsha. So in Mahabharata, we got the detail of these pastimes of Shakuntala and Dushmanta. Indeed, one great poet named Kalidas, he wrote one drama on this pastime named Abhigyan Shakuntalam. And it is translated in many languages of the world. Outside India also it is quite famous. So in Mahabharata, we got information about Dushmanta and Shakuntala. The way it is described here, it is little different from Srimad Bhagavatam. Might be it is Kalpabhed. So we find some differences in the descriptions. So in Srimad Bhagavat, in Mahabharata, according to Mahabharata, it is described that Dushmanta married Shakuntala according to Gandharva Riti. Then after the marriage, when the king stayed in the hermitage of Kanva Muni for some days, because Kanva Muni was he went to Tirtha Yatra and he was away for some days. So king stayed there, and when king asked for the permission to go to his kingdom Hastinapur at that time was the capital of this world. So he asked permission from Shakuntala to go back to his kingdom. So Shakuntala told, okay, you are going, you give me something which I can see and I can remember you. So he gave his royal ring, anguti. He gave his ring to Shakuntala as his remembrance. But when Dushmanta went to his kingdom back, he forgot. He was too much absorbed in his kingly affairs. He forgot completely Shakuntala. Although he promised Shakuntala that he will come back after some time, and Shakuntala was waiting, but Dushmanta never came back. So one day Durvasa Muni came to hermitage of Kanva Muni. So there Kanva Muni was outside, and Shakuntala was there. The Shakuntala was too much absorbed in the thoughts of Dushmanta, her husband, that she did not recognize that Durvasa Muni came, and she completely forgot to serve him. He was completely absorbed in the thoughts of Dushmanta. So she forgot to serve him and properly food, water, etc. So Durvasa Muni became very angry, as many places describe the nature of Durvasa Muni. So Durvasa Muni became very angry, and he cursed this lady, Shakuntala, that the person about whom you are thinking, he will forget you completely. So when she heard this curse from Durvasa Muni, she came to his senses and she realized that I have committed a big mistake by not respecting properly, receiving properly Durvasa Muni. So then she begged for pardon to Durvasa Muni. And Durvasa Muni, after he calmed down, his heart also melts, and he blesses Shakuntala by saying that, okay, if you have something in memory of the king which you have, then upon seeing that thing, the king will remember you again. So Shakuntala was having that ring. So she said, okay, I will go to the king and I will tell him, I will show the ring first, and then I will tell that I am your wife, and please accept us, please accept me. So in the meantime, a child was born to Shakuntala, which is Bharat Maharaj. So Kanva Muni also came back, and when Kanva Muni came back, she told Shakuntala that it is better, now you are married, so it is better for you, for a girl, to stay at her husband's house after marriage. So Kanva Muni told his disciples to drop Shakuntala to his husband's house in Hastinapur. So Shakuntala with her son Bharat Maharaj, Bharat and his disciples, Kanva Muni's disciples, they went to Hastinapur. And when they Shakuntala was going to Hastinapur, in the way there was a pond, and in the lake, when she was taking Achman, somehow or other her ring fell on the water and one fish swallowed it. So now she has no proof to show to the king, but still she went to the palace, and when she was in front of the king Dushmant, and she told that I am your wife and he is your son. The king Dushmant totally did not recall this incident, that when this has happened, because of the curse of Durvasa Muni, and he totally forgot. So in Srimad Bhagavatam it is written that when King Dushmant was in this way rejecting Shakuntala and his son, who were untainted, who were like pure, at that time a thunderous voice from the sky said that this Shakuntala is your wife, don't behave irreligiously, accept both your wife and your son. So by that omen, Maharaj Dushmant accepted Shakuntala and Bharat Maharaj as his son. But in Mahabharata it is described differently, that when king rejected Shakuntala, they went to the ashram of Kashyapa Muni nearby. And the king also busy in his state affairs. One time king went to, on the invitation of Indra, heavenly king Indra, he went to the heaven to help demigods against the fight with demons. So King Dushmant helped the demigods in fighting with demons. And when the demigods became victorious, he was returning back to his kingdom. And on the way he saw the ashram of Kashyapa Muni. So he desired to have a visit at Kashyapa Muni's ashram and have a darshan of Kashyapa Muni. So he went to the ashram, went inside the ashram. When he went inside the ashram, he saw one very nice, beautiful small boy there, who was playing with a lion. With a full-grown lion, a boy is playing. So he became very much amazed how a little, nice, beautiful young boy is playing with such a ferocious lion. So he became attracted, and he want to embrace that son. But the servant who was standing there, he told that, you don't embrace this, because if you embrace this person, if the person other than his father tries to embrace this boy, a snake will come and he will bite you, who is always with this son, is with this boy. So even after this warning, king goes and embraces the child. And when he embraced, the snake didn't come and he didn't bite. So by this, everybody understood that yes, he is the father of this son. And Shakuntala also came back. And they both reunite again. So before that incident, the ring was also found out by some fisherman in the when he was cutting the fish. The fish also found out in the fish, and the fisherman gave this ring as a gift to the king. So when the king looked at the ring, he remembered about his pastimes with Shakuntala, and he go on searching for Shakuntala. So this happened before this pastime. So in this way, this in Mahabharata is described like that, and they reunite again, Bharat Maharaj, Shakuntala and King Dushmant. And Bharat Maharaj became the next successor of King Dushmant. So this is the story in short about King Dushmant mentioned in Mahabharata. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada is mentioning that how this Gandharva marriage is not possible in Kali Yuga, because even if a boy and a girl wants to, they like each other and they marry, even after marriage there are chances of divorce. And mostly cases we see that mostly divorce cases, they are with the couple who are married on their own choices, by their own choices. So when the so-called love marriage, so there are mostly chances in this type of so-called love marriages that they converted, end up with divorces in the last. And most of the divorces, we can see the statistics also, that divorce cases happened mostly of those couples who happen to be in so-called love marriage. So this is not possible because they are not properly trained in proper sanskars. In Kali Yuga, the symptoms of Kali Yuga, while describing in 12th canto, Vyasadeva is describing how this Kali Yuga going to be degraded day by day. So Sukhdev Goswami said in chapter 2 of 12th canto, text 1, Sri Shuka Uvacha, Tatascha Anudinam Dharmam Satyam Shaucham Shamadaya Kalena Balina Rajan Nangshati Ayur Balam Smriti. Sukhdev Goswami said, Then, O King, religion, truthfulness, cleanliness, tolerance, mercy, duration of life, physical strength and memory will all diminish day by day because of the powerful influence of the age of Kali. So influence of this age is so much that all the godly qualities decreased day by day. And in the next, and in the third verse, Sukhdev Goswami said, Dampatya abhiruchir hetur mayeva vyavaharike strite pumsatve chahiratir vipratve sutram evahi. Translation: man and woman will live together merely because of superficial attraction, and success in business will depend on deceit. Womanliness and manliness will be judged according to one's expertise in sex, and a man will be known as a brahmana just by his wearing a thread. So as is mentioned in Bhagavatam also, Dampatya abhiruchir hetur. Hetu means the cause. So what is the cause of marriage? Dampatya jivan, abhiruchir. Abhiruchir, Srila Prabhupada is translating, superficial attraction, or the attraction for the outwardly looks and appearances, body. So in the purport, Prabhupada is very beautifully describing that how Dampatya abhiruchir hetur on this verse. Just as a human life is, as a whole, has a great and serious purpose, namely spiritual liberation, fundamental human institutions such as marriage and child rearing should also be dedicated to that great objective. Unfortunately, in the present age, the satisfaction of the sex impulse has become the overriding, if not the exclusive, reason for marriage. The sexual impulse, which induces the male and female of almost every species to combine physically and in higher species also emotionally, is ultimately not a natural urge because it is based on the unnatural identification of the self with the body. So Prabhupada is describing that why this is unnatural to attract, to become attracted on the principle of bodily platform. Because it is not our natural identity. Our actual identity, Jivere Surup Hai, Krishnere Nityadas. We are all eternal servants, we are eternal souls, part and parcel of Krishna. And our duty is to serve Krishna. But when we are misidentifying ourselves with this body, and consider that we are this body, and try to squeeze out this pleasure from this body, then it becomes a source of misery. And there is no happiness. So that is why it is irreligious, unnatural. Srila Prabhupada is writing further. Life itself is a spiritual phenomenon. It is the soul that lives and all gives apparent life to the biological machine called the body. Consciousness is the soul's manifest energy, and thus consciousness, awareness itself is originally an entire spiritual event. When life or consciousness is confined within a biological machine and falsely mistake itself to be that machine, material existence occurs and sex desires arises. So previously, people were married on the principle of religion to beget a nice child who is Krishna conscious, who can serve the society, who can serve the nation, who can work for the welfare of all being, who can spread Krishna conscious among his subjects. So a king or whoever got married, it is on the principle of getting a good child, having godly qualities, who has godly qualities, and who helps spread this God consciousness in society. But a marriage simply for bodily satisfaction, sense gratification, it is called irreligious marriage. Srila Prabhupada writes further, in Kali Yuga, therefore, the Vedic scripture prescribes sacred marriage in which a so-called man and so-called woman may combine in a regulated spiritual marriage sheltered by overarching religious injunctions. In this way, the candidate for self-realization who has selected family life can derive adequate satisfaction for his senses and simultaneously please the Lord within his heart by obeying religious injunctions. The Lord then purifies himself of material desires. So there are proper injunctions in our religious scriptures for everyone. Brahmachari, Grahastha, Vanaprastha, Sannyas, and Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. To follow different varnas or ashrams, there are different guidelines to be followed according to Shastra. They are given in our Shastra. And if one sincerely, honestly follows this Shastra, he can attain the ultimate aim of his life, even remaining in his own ashram. So ideal Vedic Varnashram system, one first has the training of Brahmachari ashram, then a Grahastha, he can enter into Grahastha ashram if he likes, then Vanaprastha, and then Sannyas. So these injunctions, these instructions are so given that a person, when he was in Grahastha ashram and living as per the instructions of the Shastra, the renunciation automatically develops within his heart. Because he performs devotional service to Lord Krishna. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita Janayati Asu Vairagyam Jnanam Chayat Ahetukam. Janayati Asu Vairagyam. This Vairagya will born automatically if one is sincerely serving Lord Krishna, Vishnu, in his ashram, this vairagya will develop and he will go further from grihastha ashram to vanaprastha ashram and from vanaprastha to sannyasa ashram. But if somebody likes to, do not want to enter in grihastha ashram, there is also option available. He can remain a brahmachari whole life and then take to sannyasa ashram. That is also recommended. So Prabhupada is giving the solution of sacred marriage life. How a sacred marriage life by performing this sacred marriage life, a man can be can adequately satisfy his senses and simultaneously please the Lord within his heart by obeying religious injunctions. So there is no need of actually in Vedic system there is nothing known as divorce. In Srimad Bhagavatam, one or two places Prabhupada mentioned about many places mentioned about the bad results of this divorce. The children are affected, the wife and husband both are affected, so many things. In so one example Prabhupada quotes in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 4, Text 3. In that purport, actually this is the pastime of Mother Sati quits her body. Mother Sati, who is the wife of Lord Shiva, when she quits her body, so we all know that how she became attracted toward her father's house in one ceremony, yagya ceremony. She became attracted to that ceremony and she wanted to go to her father's house, and she was repeatedly insisting his husband that I want to go to my father's house. And when Lord Shiva told that it is not good for you, that if you go there, if you hear my blasphemy there, then you will not tolerate this kind of harsh words, and so it is very dangerous and it is not good for you. You should not go there. But even after repeated request of Lord Shiva, Sati went to her father's house, and we all know that how she on hearing the blasphemy of Lord Shiva by Daksha Prajapati, she became so furious and she decided to left her body in the same yagya kund, agni kund. So Srila Prabhupada wrote that in this case this cannot be said that she divorced Lord Shiva, but it appears that Mother Sati, out of more attraction towards her father family, she left Lord Shiva. So this is the only case as far I have found. Prabhupada has mentioned that the divorce only takes place of a womanly weakness when she is attracted toward her father. Of course, this is not the case with Vaishnavas, Grihastha. So Prabhupada wanted to teach us that how we should be very careful, and one should obey his authorities. Srila Prabhupada mentioned in the last of this purport, 4.3, that how a wife should be always obedient to her husband, and Sati Devi should obey her husband in this matter, and she should not have left Lord Shiva. So always we should follow the authorities and obey and their instructions. There is one more mentioning in Canto 5, Chapter 14, text number 37. When Jad Bharat was describing about the nature of this material world as the forest of enjoyment, there this verse comes, It says like the Sanskrit of this verse is like this: Evam vitta vyati sango vivirudha vairanubandho api purva vasanaya mitha udvahati atha pavahati. Translation: although people may be envious in order to fulfill their desires again and again, they sometimes get married. Unfortunately, these marriages do not last very long, and people involved are separated again by divorce or other means. So, although there is nothing like divorce in our Vedic culture, but if it is irreligious and it is out of only for satisfying out of this body or senses, and then definitely there are chances that the person will disunite in that marriage and they will separate. So these are the things I can highlight from our shastras, and as far as my realizations or my understanding, actually one cannot fathom the depth of Srimad Bhagavatam. Each and every verse can be discussed for so many days, years. So as per my understanding, I can discuss about this much, and we can see further how more interesting this pastimes becomes, and we will definitely learn some very important teachings from this pastime and the end of this pastime. Srila Vyasadeva will definitely have some very very important teachings for us in this pastime. So I want to thank all of you, and Jagatguru Srila Prabhupada ki. Any questions, comments? Srila Prabhupada ki, Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki.